This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. 50 years after the events of the final Harry Potter books, and Harry Potter is now headmaster of Hogwarts, ready to usher in a brand new generation of witches and wizards. My name's Radio Mike, and I love Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter so much that when I was a kid, I wrote an entire series of fan fiction books based on Hogwarts. This is book one in that series. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys. Hello, Aslan haters, and welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys, a Harry Potter fanfiction podcast by me, Radio Mike, the only Australian Harry Potter fanfiction podcast, and oh my god, what? Keelan Ferrari Brown on the show today. This welcome guy. To the show, Keelan.
Thank you very much for having me. Huge fan.
This is actually, you're not a huge fan, because I asked you when you arrived if you've heard the show, and you said, oh, I started listening to it, but then I got a phone call. So either you had a really long phone call, or after the phone call, you decided, oh, that really wasn't for me. I'll go to something else.
It was a two-hour long phone call.
With whom?
With Whitey about the loogies.
Whitey, okay. He's one of the listeners who he listens to this podcast, actually.
Yeah.
And sometimes helps out on the Luke and Lewis stuff. So Keelan from Luke and Lewis, Keelan's Meelans on YouTube.
That's me.
Among several other things. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Tell me about your history with Harry Potter, because you're a bit younger than me, I believe.
Yeah. I grew up watching it. My sister's your age, so pretty much the same. She was a huge fan. I became a huge fan because of it. You know, when you're a younger brother, you just do everything your sister does.
Wouldn't know. Never had a sister.
Yeah, well, don't you have a brother?
I do have an older brother, yeah. Yeah,
same kind of deal. Yeah. I used to watch it all the time. When I was about 11, for like 6 months, I used to watch number 3 and number 4 every single day.
You watched, that's like what a kid does with like Monsters, Inc. Like yeah. A baby does that. And you watched it every day.
When the new, like the latest one came out, number 8? Yeah. The Deathly Hallows Part 2, just watch those two on repeat all the time. Why? I cannot watch them anymore.
Didn't you get to a point where you were like, there is so, I've seen every detail, there's nothing new I can find.
It's just fun. Like the double-decker bus.
From Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, and I really liked.
It's called the night bus.
Sorry. Just so you know. It's a triple-decker, actually. And the swimming stuff in the fourth one. Yeah, that was cool. I used to really like that.
Yeah,
I'd always stop about like 2 hours in for the fourth one, just before the maze. I didn't like the maze one.
I was actually boring. Really scared of Voldemort in that. Mm. Like, he was pretty scary and menacing in that.
I can actually remember seeing that one at the cinemas and being scared. I would have been about 5.
Because I remember being very young and seeing Philosopher's Stone and that moment at the end when Professor Quirrell unwraps his turban and you see Voldemort's face sort of like protruding off the back of it. Video viewers, this is sort of my impression of it. He's sort of like this, don't you reckon?
Yeah, no,
you do it.
Like,
yeah, he's just protruding off the back. I was terrified. I thought, oh my god, that's fucked. And it is fucked.
It is fucked. Yeah, that one is a scary one for a young kid.
Yeah.
What about Chamber of Secrets? That's not very scary. I recently rewatched that at the cinemas.
Oh, were they showing Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets at the cinemas?
Yeah, the day before we went into our next lockdown,
yeah,
Phoebe and I just happened to go see the Chamber of Secrets at Chadston.
Yeah.
It was so cool to watch it in the cinemas.
I don't think I've seen Chamber of Secrets in a very long time. Very long time.
Very big difference watching it at the movies rather than watching it at home.
Yeah, okay. One of the things that this podcast has done is it's really like refreshed how cool Harry Potter is. Like, I'm really encapsulated with it. I'm like reading the Harry Potter wiki, reading like different facts about Harry Potter. It's been really cool. I've been really liking that. Have you read the books?
Yeah, I read the books in grade 5.
All of them in grade 5.
Actually, yeah, I had a reading competition with the person who sat next to me, because we did
what
like
was his name.
I think her name was Taylor.
Okay, hey Taylor, how are you? Please verify that that happened.
I won. Did you? I may have cheated because I was in year 5. I may have read.
Skipping chapters. So really you didn't read them. You, skipping books and saying you read them is not the same as reading them.
I think when I read, what's the fifth one? The second last book? What's that one?
Half-Blood Prince.
I like read the first half and then just skipped the last chapter.
Okay. Wait, you've read the first half, then skipped to the last chapter.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I get what's going on. I'll just see how it all ends up for everyone.
You know that scene in the movie when Dumbledore dies?
Yes. Spoilers, sorry. Scene. Yes. Yeah, I think I remember it.
I skipped to that part of the book.
Okay.
Yeah. I was shocked.
I mean, well, everyone was, but you probably more so, because you have no idea what came before it. Do you have a favorite movie and book, or are they different?
Order of the Phoenix is my favorite movie.
Okay.
I think all that, like, alliance and the
Dumbledore's army,
the political stuff in there is really cool.
Yep.
Favorite movie? I don't particularly like the movies anymore. I watch them so much.
Didn't you just say that Order of the Phoenix is your favorite movie?
Or is that book, favorite book?
Oh, you said movie.
Oh, I'm you were stupid. Like,
Order of the Phoenix is my favorite movie. Favorite movie though? I'm not really into the movies very much.
Well, I guess.
Also, you just raved about, I watched 3 and 4 every day for 6 months. I just saw Chamber. Don't really like the movies.
No. I watch them so much, I cannot watch them anymore. Okay.
Right.
Phoebe and I recently watched them like 6 months ago, and I think my favorite would have had to be Half-Blood Prince.
Okay. A lot of people saying Half-Blood Prince is their favorite movie.
Half-Blood Prince and Order of the Phoenix are the best. The next two, like the fight for Hogwarts or whatever, that's just boring once you've seen it twice.
Okay.
And then the first three are hard to watch.
Yeah, okay. Interesting.
Do you agree with that? They're just...
No, I haven't gone back to watch the movies in a very long time. I think when I saw the last movie, me and one of my best friends, Lockie, were like... Now we shouldn't watch Harry Potter for literally 10 years. So we forget everything and then go back to the movies and remember it all. So it's coming up to the 10 years. The last movie came out in 2011, I think. So in one year's time, it'll be 10 years since the last movie, which is pretty crazy. That's, big legacy.
Well, the first three I just find I'd struggle to watch because they're such bad actors.
Okay, yeah. I reckon 3 is my favorite for sure. My favorite movie.
When I was 11, I would definitely agree with you.
Do you have a favorite character or story arc or any particular story point that speaks to you?
I hate the main three. I think they're boring and dull characters.
Okay.
But I really like Fred and George.
Yeah, Fred and George are fan favorites, aren't they?
Yeah.
And how did you feel when Fred died in the last one? Or did you skip that chapter? Have you just found out that Fred dies?
You're kidding.
Do you not know?
No, of course I knew that. I guess I found out when watching it in the movies. So I would have been shocked, just like every other character that died in that movie.
Yeah. Lots of really surprising deaths, isn't there?
I think Dobby...
Just like in real life, people die left, right and center. You're like, what? He died? What? Come on.
Dobby's death hit me hardest.
Yeah.
But now...
Is that because you're sort of like Dobby? Like a little bit dopey? You're a bit of a slave.
I think... You didn't actually ask me this question, but the death that impacted me the most is when Alan Rickman died.
The actor. Right.
It's pretty sad when that happened in real life.
Not Snape, like literally when Alan Rickman died.
Yeah,
that was very sad. Alan Rickman, I thought, was probably the best cast character.
Yeah.
And Fred and George. Like, I think he just totally encapsulated everything Snape needed to be. That being said, I think most of the characters were really well casted in the movies. I think all of them, like, are really pretty good.
What do you think of Daniel Radcliffe as an actor?
I think that as the series progressed, it became increasingly more apparent that Daniel Radcliffe was no longer interested in being Harry Potter. And you can tell in the last couple movies how little he wants to be there, but he just did it because he didn't want to let the fans down. So, like, I think that I actually have spoken before about how I think that Harry as a character is not, like you said, I don't find him very complex or engaging at all. So I've never really been too drawn to Harry, but I always actually thought Ron and Hermione in the movies were really great. I thought they were characterized pretty well.
I think Emma Watson's a great actor. Rupert Grint is there. I think the same as Daniel Radcliffe was just kind of cast and then not let go.
Well, I guess they couldn't really let them go towards the end, though, could they? Like,
No, they couldn't.
Would have paid anything to get them to stay. And I think Harry Potter is possibly the only franchise that has maintained a consistent main cast throughout its entire run, like, of the seven movies. Like, if you look at, like, stuff like Star Wars, different casts throughout the whole saga.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing, which I think is pretty cool. Like, because it was up in the air whether they were all going to do all of the movie adaptations and stuff. And
is that true?
Yeah. So there was a while where, like, Emma Watson was thinking about not doing it just because they were like, it's just going to dominate our entire lives and we have to commit to it. But yeah, she ended up doing it because she didn't want anyone else to play Hermione.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, one last thing before we move on. Mm. You know that?
Sure, man. You call the shots. It's your podcast. No, one last thing.
You know that scene where Daniel Radcliffe takes off his shirt
in Deathly Hallows Part 1?
And he's just got this very standard body. He's just pretty average.
What did you expect?
No, but...
You think he has time to get ripped when he spent his entire life on the set of Harry Potter?
I can remember. I was 11 when that movie came out. 10, 11. At the movies, I can remember the sound of the crowd getting excited when he's taking his shirt off and then the disappointment that just went through the theater of, oh.
No, that sucks. I personally wasn't really looking or caring very much about Daniel Radcliffe's shirtless body.
No, I wasn't either as a 10-year-old, but with sisters and... Yeah, I can remember that.
Well, I think it was very brave of him to do that. Shall we move on to the fan fiction?
Sure.
Oh, one question I did forget to ask you, Killen, is what house would you say you would be in?
I'm not sure. Probably Hufflepuff.
I was going to say you'd probably be
Hufflepuff. I take that as an insult.
Yeah. I mean, like, no, I mean, Hufflepuff, I'm sure they've got something. I know, I'm not sure how, like, up to date you are with the fanfic so far and where we're at with it. Are you across any of the characters or anything like that?
I used to listen when it was on your podcast, 20th yep. Century Boy.
Yep.
But that was a while ago you stopped doing that.
Yeah, but you know the basic premise of the book.
Yeah, I understand.
Cool. So the way we do this is Keelan is going to read the current chapter that we are up to of the fan fiction, and that chapter is, I'm just scrolling to it here, it is chapter 7, I want to say, or possibly chapter 8. No, it's chapter 8, and the chapter is called The New Seeker. Chapter 8, The New Seeker. And just for your reference, we have just come off the back of an episode with Jack Post where Jack read chapter 7, which was called The Sorting Dilemma, where the Sorting Hat actually sorted one of the characters, Derek Derrickson, into Expelled House. So yes. Hogwarts has actually created a brand new house specifically for this one student, Derek Derrickson, who is now in the Expelled House by himself. We pick up, I think, the next day from that sorting ceremony with Chapter 8, The New Seeker. Sure. So we start by reading the chapter title and we go from there.
Can I just ask one more question? From what I remember of listening to your podcast... Is there like an announcement every day of someone? Well,
we might find out in this chapter.
Oh, yes, okay. Like,
In the most recent chapter, we did get the first edition of Derek is a disgrace to all wizards, which is a message that regularly repeats during the book where Harry Potter over the PA announcement of the school says, sorry, everyone, just a reminder that Derek is a disgrace to all wizards. And, you know, Harry Potter, so far from what we've seen, has become quite a ruthless, domineering tyrant of the school who physically and emotionally traumatizes his students. He's certainly not the Harry we remember from the old days. But we'll see what happens in this one.
Okay, I'm a very bad reader. I left school in year 9, so my reading ability is poor.
Well, just try your best, man. I'll correct any mistakes.
I apologize.
All right.
Chapter 8. The New Seeker.
Okay. So I believe this may be referring to Seeker of the Quidditch team. What are your thoughts on Quidditch? We'll pick it up. What are your thoughts on Quidditch? Just so we can get the least time of you reading possible.
Man, being a Seeker. Hold the microphone sorry.
Up to your face.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, mate.
The Seeker, the Quidditch as a game is cool.
Okay, cool.
They don't spend too much time in the movies on it, do they?
No, especially in the later movies. It's a big feature in the first two. You just assume Quidditch is happening for the other movies. It's not really shown.
I like how they don't mention it from like number 3 to number 7. Number four, I reckon.
Well, it's still sort of there, but it's not. Yeah. Did you know, I actually watched this video. Sorry, we will get into the chapter
soon. Getting hot.
I watched this video on YouTube yesterday that was saying, okay, Keelan's just taken off his jumper because it's getting hot. if you actually watch the first Harry Potter movie, Harry does not cast a single spell in the whole movie.
Oh, really?
He doesn't do any magic in the movie. Like, at no point in the movie does Harry do any magic.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's good. All right, here we go. The New Seeker, Chapter 8.
Derek awoke the next morning feeling happy. Today was the day that all the heads of the school and Quidditch captains and people like that were being announced to the school.
So people like J.K. are like, you know, today's the day all the head boys and Quidditch, all that shit's being announced today. So that's something to look forward to.
Derek was happy because being the only one and expelled, he would get them all.
So Derek is unusually positive about all of this, right? Because like, Derek is just like, oh my God, I've got my own common room. I've got my own bathroom, got my own quarters, and I'm going to be head boy. I'm going to be Quidditch captain. I'm going to be prefect. I'm going to be fucking everything. So Derek really likes it.
Harry stood up. He waved his wand and said,
oh yeah.
Show mass grow.
Show mass grow. I think it's show a spell.
Oh, Shoma Scrotum.
It does sort of, it's spelled Shoma Scrotum. It does feel like it is a scrotum-based spell.
Suddenly, a giant scroll appeared.
So maybe Shoma Scrotum is, scroll is actually short for scroll, not scrotum. So Harry is not showing his scrotum to the students, which would be inappropriate.
So what year did you write this in? What, like grade?
Year were you seven.
In? Year seven, so... Yep. It might be good to one day go through and give advice to your year seven self about how he could have written this better.
But I can't speak to him. He's dead. He's me. I am my year seven self. This is what he became.
I guess my logic is flawed there.
All right. So a big scroll is coming up in front of the school.
House leaders. Okay. Gryffindor. Jeremy Robson. Okay, Slytherin.
We comment on everything. Jeremy Robson is the brother of one of the main boys, Rob Robson, who has 600 siblings, including another brother, which we met last chapter, called Roberto Robson.
There is a lot of background in this. I should have listened to the other episodes.
So that's why we don't skip through it. All right, next. So Gryffindor's head boy is Jeremy Robson.
Slytherin, Ian Sabori. Sabori.
I don't know whether Ian Sabori is a relevant character.
Hufflepuff, Joshua Morgan.
Okay, any Josh Morgans out there? Congratulations, that could be a real name.
Ravenclaw, Harrison Grint.
Okay, so I assume that is a shout out to Rupert Grint.
Yeah,
who plays Ron. But I don't know if any of these names are relevant. Again, I will note that every single one of these characters is male. It seems like Hogwarts has become an all-boys school since Harry Potter left.
A bit of a boys' club.
Yeah, a bit of a sausage fest.
Expelled, Derek Derrickson.
Okay, so Derek Derrickson is the house leader of Expelled.
Yeah, that's good.
Cool.
Head boy and girl. Jonathan Ferrell, Hufflepuff. Ooh.
He's in Hufflepuff. Jonathan Ferrell from Hufflepuff. Mm-hmm. Again, weird surname, Ferrell.
And from Gryffindor, Idrell Latria.
That sounds like a girl's name.
I think that is a girl's name.
Okay.
Well, you'd hope so. Head boy and girl.
And so far, this possibly is one of the most boring chapters of the book. We're basically just, all of this is bolded and italics, and it's like, we're reading off the scroll, all these names.
It's probably good that I got this chapter only having to read four words at a time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even then, I'm still struggling. Quidditch captains for Gryffindor, Timothy Mirth.
Okay, Timothy Mirth.
Slytherin, Jacques Lamore.
I think this is a French name because it's Jacques.
Jacques.
Which is spelled Jacques Lamore. Kind of sounds like Macklemore, but he wasn't around in 2007.
Hufflepuff, Jill Jones.
All right, we applaud any female representation in this book. That's our third female character. Well done.
Samantha Barnes from Ravenclaw.
Another female. Here we go. Here's all the diversity we've been waiting for.
Year 7 Mike's very diverse. Very words.
Yeah.
Expelled, Derek Derrickson. Another one.
Who we assume has never played Quidditch, is the Quidditch captain of the Expelled house.
Prefects. Roberto Robson and Harold Biscuits from Gryffindor.
So, and this, we're going back a bit. So Roberto Robson, again, is the aforementioned brother of Rob Robson, the older brother who's a prefect. Harold Biscuits, we actually met in an earlier chapter. he met the boys on the Hogwarts Express and he explained to them that he is a loner who has no friends. So he's the prefect of Gryffindor, which is interesting.
Bling Bling and Emily Wright?
Bling Bling is the name of that person. There is a... So the prefects for Ravenclaw are Bling Bling and Emily Wright.
Is Emily Wright not like an actress or something?
I have no idea. Oh, okay. I have no idea who that is. You're worried about Emily Wright. I'm more worried about the parent whose surname was Bling, who called their child Bling. G'day, guys. I'm Bling Bling. This is my son, Bling Bling Jr.
Jason Ells and nobody for Hufflepuff. So, Jason Ells is just on his own.
So it actually says Jason Ells and nobody Hufflepuff, which actually implies there was no one else good enough except for Jason Ells to be a prefect of Hufflepuff.
Can you explain the concept of a prefect to me? Is that just like head a house captain?
No, because the head of house students. I don't think in the books there was, because before we had the. Yeah, house leaders, Gryffindor, Jeremy Robson, yeah. Slytherin, Ian Subbery. I don't think those are in the books. I don't think there's like a house captain. But in the books, prefects are fifth years who are like responsible students who can give out detentions and stuff to other students.
Oh, okay, yeah. Right. So that was in the movies, that was Ron's older brother.
Percy was a prefect, yeah. But Ron and, I think both Ron and Hermione become prefects in fifth year as well. So yeah. All right, so who are the prefects for Slytherin?
Squid and John Mooney.
Squid and John Mooney from Slytherin? Of course, the classic duo. You assume they're brothers. You assume they're brothers. Well, I mean, either they are the brothers Squid and John Mooney, or Squid is just one person and he doesn't have a last name, and then there's John Mooney. I think they're supposed to be brothers.
I like the idea that they're brothers.
Okay, cool. Let's adopt that as our headcanon.
And then from Expelled, Derek Derrickson.
It makes sense, doesn't
very
it?
Very true. Yes, very.
So those are all the leaders of the school this year.
After everyone had finished reading the scroll, Professor Granger walked over to the Gryffindor table. Now, okay. Gryffindors, you have your first flying lesson now. Off with you.
It's day one of school. We assume they don't even have their timetables yet. And just so you know, last night was the sorting and welcoming ceremony.
Yeah.
Several students were killed by Hagrid when he fell on them and crushed them.
What?
So over 18 first years were killed by Hagrid at the sorting ceremony. Now, next day, guys, you got your first flying lesson. Off with you. Like, get out of here. What are you doing? You're going to be fucking late.
She doesn't even tell them where to go. Yeah, it's like they're just supposed to know where to go.
Off with you.
But before they could leave, Harry came rushing up quickly.
Okay. Yep. I was saying, okay. What does he say?
And then this is in all capital.
Then this is all caps.
No, before you leave, remember that Derek is a disgrace to all wizards. And then, still in capitals.
And Harry's still saying this.
Note that all of this is in italics.
No, sorry, it says, note that the all is in italics. So then, when he says, Derek is a disgrace to all wizards, the all is in italics. So, Harry, not only is Harry, again, aware that he is in a book, but he also knows that his words are being written down and he is dictating whether what he is saying should be in italics or not.
Oh my God. Okay. The Gryffindors walked outside with the Slytherins and Derek.
So it just seems like they don't really know where to put Derek. So he's just, the expelled classes are going with the Gryffindors and Slytherins.
They were all excited about their first flying lessons. Mm-hmm. There were 25 broomsticks waiting for them, all lined up. 25 was just enough for the 12 Gryffindors and 12 Slytherins and the one expelled.
And expelled does not have a capital letter, even though Gryffindor and Slytherins does.
I also like that the numbers aren't written. They aren't actually just written as the symbol 25.
Yeah, you wouldn't get that in the Harry Potter books.
An old wrinkled woman suddenly appeared. Okay. Good morning, everyone.
Well, actually, can I say that's actually one of the first ever physical descriptions of a character in this book. We've met probably 100 characters in the book. This is the first one we actually know what they look like. Old wrinkled woman.
Good morning, everyone. I am Madame Hooch.
Oh, Madame Hooch.
Oh, very good.
Noticeably, Madame Hooch became less and less prominent in the movies and books. Like, I don't think Madame Hooch is mentioned in the movies after Chamber of Secrets.
She's only the Quidditch stuff, isn't she?
Yeah, she's the flying teacher. What gives someone the right to be a Quidditch teacher? Unless she, you know, it's like, no offense out there, guys, but PE teachers, you know you've got the easiest job in the world, making kids go for runs around the oval.
As they say, if you can't teach, if you can't do,
who can't teach, teach gym. And that's Madame Hooch.
Yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
So what's Madame Hooch up to? It's good to see that all of the teachers that were there when Harry were there are no longer there, but Madame Hooch is still going strong.
There was a huge war of people saying, up, up. No, I read that.
Oh, you did.
I didn't.
You missed a line.
Now put your left hand beside your broom and say up.
And this is mirroring a scene from the actual original book.
There was a huge roar of people saying, up, up. Michael, Rob, Lockie, and Sam all managed to get their broomsticks up at once.
Nice.
Luke and Tom on the second.
There you go.
What does that mean?
As in, you know, in the movie when they're all going up and Harry's just immediately comes up.
Oh.
Whereas like Hermione and stuff take ages and Hermione's like, up, up, up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought, do you think professional Quidditch players before they go out onto the field are like, up?
I have thought about that before.
Is it non-verbal? Does it become non-verbal?
Yeah, well, isn't that like with how they all have to, when they're in school, have to say their...
But then
when they're grown up, they can just go...
Yeah.
Expelliarmus without saying it.
Just guess it's a mystery.
Now, said Madame Hooch, I want everyone to show me how good you are flying.
and the way that you read that is exactly how it's written. It literally says, I want everyone to... It's like Madame Hooch doesn't really know what her lesson's going to be. So she's like, all right, I want everyone to show me how good you are. She's been doing this her whole career, but she's just forgotten. How do you teach Quidditch? How do you teach flying to students again?
That's so funny. And that it's such a dangerous thing.
Yeah, flying a broomstick. Yeah. Just free for all, guys. Just get up there. I'll have a look. I'll try and help you if I can. I don't know. I never made it to professional Quidditch. So I'm fucking here teaching at Hogwarts.
I'll teach you sevens. She stopped and looked in amazement at the six boys, flying around and around, especially Michael. And then in brackets, oh yes, what a coincidence. The character with the same name as the author is the best flyer.
So I think the character of Michael in this book does get a bit of favoritism from the author. I don't know why, but Madame Hooch, or well, the narrator might have spelt it out there. I was just trying to make me look the best, and I am the best flyer in the group of boys.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, there you go.
A strong wind came, and
a strong wind just came. It just came. Just appeared.
Can you do your best sound effect of strong wind?
There you go, guys. Judge which one's better right into the show.
A strong wind came and Madame Hooch's wig came off. Michael chased after it.
Wait. It's never been like, do we know she wears a wig or does she just wear a wig now? And then so it blows off, the wind arrives, it blows her wig off. So Madame Hooch is just standing there completely bald with an English shoe. And like... Madame Hooch's hair in the movies is like a spiky haircut. So it's like, if you were going to choose a wig, surely you'd choose long flowing hair. But there you go. That's what she's chosen.
Michael chased after it and caught it awesomely. And in brackets, if that's a word.
So usually you assume J.K. Rowling or her editor, right, looks up the words before publishing it, right? They go, hey, is awesomely a word? No, it's not. Use a different word. Okay, but this author has decided, just put the word in and specify that you're not sure if it's a word or not.
Madame Hooch dismissed everyone except for the six boys. She went inside the castle to fetch Timothy Marsh, the Quidditch captain for Gryffindor.
Now, if I do remember correctly, and I'm not 100% sure, she's gone to fetch Timothy Marsh, the Quidditch captain for Gryffindor. If we scroll back up to that scroll, I do believe his name was Timothy Murph before, so I guess we assume one of them's a typo. I'm going to say his canonical name is Timothy Murph. And maybe the narrator didn't know his real name or something like that. But he's got, this is playing out very similarly to how Harry made it onto the Quidditch team at Hogwarts.
Mm.
Yeah. But continue.
Now all the Gryffindors in the Quidditch team last year were seventh years. Oh, right. Except for Timothy. Okay. So this year there was no team and Timothy was desperate to win the cup this year.
So all the Quidditch players have now graduated.
Yes.
There are no other. Yeah. So Gryffindor really wants to win the cup.
Timothy's the only player.
Yeah. So it's currently an empty team.
Timothy, Madam Hooch said, here is your team.
So she's there. She's with Timothy. She's pointed to these 6 11-year-olds. She's like, here's your team. And then what happens? Read the next line.
Derek is a disgrace to all wizards, the PA said, breaking the silence.
So you imagine there's a moment of silence where, like, you know, maybe if there was a film adaptation, some music starts playing. It's like, duh, 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 duh. It's like, duh, beep, beep, beep. Derek is a disgrace to all wizards.
Do you think with an announcement at Hogwarts, they'd have like little sounds? Like, you know, yeah. Like, you know, in primary school, yeah. Did your primary school have like whoever was doing the announcement would play a sound on a little
xylophone. No, it's a pre-recorded.
It's not.
There is no way they are doing it on a xylophone.
Our primary school did.
Okay, well, your primary school is fucked. That is so weird.
She would change it up every day.
That is very weird. So, I just love that Harry Potter's like in his office and he's like, oop, 11 o'clock. Attention, everybody. Derek is a disgrace to all wizards. And Derek, this poor boy who's come to Hogwarts to, you know, we found out in chapter 1 or 2 that Derek is the son of two very famous witches, a very famous witch and wizard. And, you know, he's probably come to Hogwarts hoping that he's going to like live up to the expectations of his family. And here he is just being insulted. It's probably been an hour since the last time.
The boys made their way with Timothy to the Quidditch pitch. He would be testing their ability in-game to see if they deserved a spot. These kids have just learned how to fly.
Yeah, they're just naturally talented, man.
Timothy spoke to them for about 6 hours about how the keeper is the most important player of the game, in the team. And without a keeper, there would be no Quidditch.
So you, I assume Timothy is the keeper and like 6 hours. Do you reckon he's just sat them down on the Quidditch? All right, first things first, keepers. And then 6 hours, he's like, all right, guys, beaters. Yeah, I don't know. The beaters just sort of hit the bludgers around and shit. They're not really important. But when you think about it, Quidditch as a game is such a like non-game, right? Like it's just the seeker is all that really matters. And then the chasers just fly around and do another game while the seekers are trying to catch the snitch. It's quite dumb.
I actually thought about this the other day, how with one thing you can do in that game, you win the entire game. It could be 2 seconds into the game and you've won.
Exactly. And some games were known some games could go for like months because no one catches the snitch. Crazy stuff, wizards.
Is that the only way you can end the game? Is to catch the snitch?
Catch the snitch. Or if everyone dies, I guess.
I don't think JK Rowling put much thought into the game of it.
Such a stupid game. Yeah. Quidditch is really dumb. Where are we?
Timothy spoke to them for 6 hours. After a long time of showing off about his fantastic keeping skills, Timothy assigned positions to everyone. 6 hours.
Doesn't even try them out. He's
like, all right, guys. 6 hours of lectures.
All right, keepers are good. All right, you guys, beaters. Fuck, I don't know. You can be a chaser.
Our keeper is yours truly, he smiled and winked at the boys.
Our keeper is yours truly. And do you reckon the boys are just like, just staring blankly at him like, what?
Our three chasers are Sam, Tom, and Luke. Sam, Tom, and Oliver looked at each other, smiled nervously. Who's Oliver?
I don't know. That's a different character.
They knew that chasers were the most idiotic members of the team in most situations.
So it says Sam, Tom, and Oliver, I assume it's meant to be Luke, looked at each other and smiled nervously. And then it's apparently because they know that the chasers are the most idiotic people. Like, that's just a known thing in the city. Oh, you're a chaser. Idiot.
Our beaters will be Rob and Lockie. They showed wonderful skill at beating. Rob and Lockie smiled.
I'm not sure if there's innuendo in that or not.
And finally, said Timothy, the part of the seeker will be played by you. He pointed at a tree. Everyone was surprised.
Everyone was surprised. So the boys are like, the tree. I really wouldn't have expected the tree to get it.
They walked over to the tree to find Michael peeing in front of it.
Oh, okay.
Me? Michael said, shocked. Yes, you, Timothy replied.
There you go. That's the end of the chapter. Wow, how interesting. So Michael's just gone to do a pee on a tree that is on the Quidditch pitch.
Yeah, that's like, what I was just thinking.
Not much of this really adds up. And the other thing is, I think that was a reference to, do you know The Simpsons? Do you watch The Simpsons at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know who shot Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
You know when Chief Wiggum goes, oh no, Dr. Hibbert goes, well, I couldn't possibly solve this mystery. Can you? And he points directly at the camera, like addressing the audience.
Yeah.
But then the camera changes and he's pointing at Chief Wiggum and Chief Wiggum just goes, yeah, I'll give it a shot. It's my job, right? So I do feel like that was probably influenced a little bit by that. Thanks for reading that, man.
That was
good. What'd you think?
I thought that was very fun.
Yeah, very fun. Bit of it, like that was, you know, a slower chapter. You know, not as many laughs in that chapter, but it can't all be fun and games. Do you have time for a couple emails?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, great. I'll read some of these emails out.
I didn't know we were doing emails.
Oh, there's just like two, man.
Hang on, let me put my email hat on.
Okay, Keelan's. All right, Keelan's going to put his email hat on, which for some reason is a hat that I own. That is way too big for Keelan.
Way too small, do you mean?
Way too small for Keelan, yeah. All right, hang on. I'm
talking about this on the Luke and Lewis Secret podcast the other day, that my head's too big for hats.
Yeah, so I heard that. Yeah, you, it is. And they say I have a big head.
Yeah, I know. I've got the biggest head.
All right, Keelan. So the first email actually comes from Legbot124. Mm. And he sent me an email saying, hey, Mike, do you reckon I could get a Harry Potter and the Boys PDF as I'd like to read along? So he wants me to send him the book.
Okay.
Now the answer to that is an obvious and hard no, because I'm not going to send you the whole thing so you can read ahead and publish it online. God. So that's the first email.
Oh, okay.
Pretty easy one.
Sorry, Leg.
Sorry, Leg. Not this time, mate. And this one comes in from Amy, who is the official correspondent of the show.
Yep.
Amy is well regarded by the hosts and the listeners of the show alike. She does a lot of the research on the show and little tidbits that come up. She sort of looks up and sends them in to me. So here's what she said this week. Thanks again, Amy. Hi, Mike. Just listened to episode 7 and the bonus episode. I did a bonus episode with Jack Post last week, and it was so satisfying to hear the books explained. There are so many good bits in the books that don't make it into the movies. Very good point about the Veritaserum in Trials. It's so frustrating, but in Sirius's case, there wasn't a trial because Barty Crouch Sr. was head of the department and locked Death Eaters up without trials. Now, the point I was making to Jack last week is that one of the main plot points of Harry Potter is that Sirius Black was framed for a crime he didn't commit, right? Mm. However, in the same universe, we know that a truth potion exists that forces everybody to tell the truth,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
So why do we not just give everyone in the legal system a truth potion so we know whether they're telling the truth? Anyway, There are so many small plot lines that can be easily missed in the books, and I think I notice something else every time I read them. It's super cool how Harry is a descendant from the youngest Peverell brother and Voldemort is a descendant from the second Peverell brother, meaning they're technically related. Had a good giggle in chapter 7 when the prefect came back with Avada Kedavra as the spell to open the common room. So they forget the password to open the portrait of the fat lady. Yeah. So they go ask Harry Potter and Harry Potter says, just kill her. Which is a terrible, horrible thing to do. So the prefect comes back and kills the fat lady. That's our first death in the book, which is pretty crazy. Glad to see you hate Harry Potter and the Cursed Child 2. It is the worst. I agree. I should do a discussion podcast on the Cursed Child at one point because it sucks. Thanks, Amy, official correspondent of Harry Potter and the Boys. All right, Keelan, thank you very much for joining me on HP and the B. I really appreciate you being here. Where can people find you and your stuff?
At Keelan on Instagram.
Spell it out for us.
K-E-E-H-L-A-N.
Surprised you know how to spell. You can't read.
Okay, and Keelan's Meelans on YouTube.
Yeah.
I put a lot of effort into my videos.
Yeah. Yes, he puts a lot of effort into his videos. I am on Instagram, radio.mike. You can watch full videos of Harry Potter and the Boys on my YouTube. Just type in Radio Mike. And please go and check out my other podcast, 20th Century Boy, which Keelan is on from time to time. It's a lot of fun. And as well as that, just subscribe to my YouTube. Check out some of my other stuff, radiomike.com.au. Oh, and one final thing. This is the last episode of 2020. We will be back on whatever the first Wednesday is of 2021. I'm just going to get my calendar out now. So the first episode back will be the 6th of January, 2021. So have a very Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year. And
have a Happy Hanukkah.
Have a happy, whatever your denomination, have a very safe holiday. And we will see you soon. And from all of us here at Aslan Haters Uniters, fuck Aslan.
Fuck him.
Onwards with Harry. See you guys. Thanks so much.